You're listening to SBS News.
For 1 year now, Rohingya refugees from Myanmar have been living in terrible conditions across the border in Bangladesh. They have been crowded into makeshift houses, mostly made of bamboo, and with only plastic sheets to protect them from the elements. Nearly a million are displaced and stateless. Human Rights Watch Australia Director Elaine Pearson sums up the situation.
This is one of the biggest humanitarian crises of our modern times. We saw 700,000 Rohingya flee from the worst of the worst kind of atrocities. These were crimes against humanity. Entire villages were burnt to the ground. Men were slaughtered. Women were gang raped. Children, babies were thrown onto fires. And the people who did manage to escape these abuses went to Bangladesh, where 1 year later they remain in overcrowded camps with really nowhere to go.
Human rights groups say Myanmar's military carried out those attacks, attacking civilians, burning down entire villages and killing thousands of people in so-called clearance operations. The United Nations later described them as textbook ethnic cleansing. Myanmar's military insists it was responding to Rohingya militant attacks on 30 police posts and an army base, and says claims of violence and rape are fabrications. Many of those who fled to Bangladesh now live in a sprawling refugee camp in Cox's Bazar. Conditions are unhygienic and mental scars are another problem. Médecins Sans Frontières' Donald Kazungu is in Bangladesh and says the mental health concerns are widespread.
The mental health problem is exacerbated by various factors, the fear for their security, and all this uncertainty of being in a dilemma of not being recognized from both sides.
Médecins Sans Frontières says it has provided more than 650,000 medical consultations in its 19 health facilities in Cox's Bazar. But Mr. Kazungu says it is not enough to handle all the issues.
No single organization can provide holistic care. There's still a lot of work to be done. As we continue with the current services and try to improve more, it's good to tell the world outside there that a lot still needs to be done for Rohingya people.
Yunus Muhammad, who lives in Melbourne, left Northern Rakhine State 8 years ago and says he too suffered under Myanmar's military.
Sometimes they ask for money. If you can't give money, they beat you, kick you. They're doing like this for many years.
He says his mother convinced him to leave, but she stayed behind. Now she, along with several other family members, remains stuck in Bangladesh. Mr. Muhammad says he worries about them.
I worry because, you know, they have to sleep on the floor. On the floor, it's cold weather. Now it's rainy season, monsoon. They can't go anywhere, they can't do anything.
A deal was signed between Bangladesh and Myanmar last November and another between the United Nations and Myanmar in July. Both were supposed to safeguard the return of hundreds of thousands of refugees, but the United Nations has refused to comment on details of the deal. Many Rohingya say they will not return until Myanmar recognises them as citizens and guarantees their safety. And Ms. Pearson says some who have returned have faced new horrors.
Several Rohingya who have returned to Myanmar have actually faced torture. They've been rounded up on their return, detained, sentenced to prison terms, then eventually pardoned. But during that time in custody, they were beaten. In some cases, they were subjected to electric shocks. So they were really treated very badly, and they've unfortunately had to flee again to Bangladesh.
It leaves the Rohingya with a near impossible choice: stay where they are or return to the horror they fled. Matt Kennellan, SBS News.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher or Wooshka.